Praise you, Jesus. Amen. Let's just turn in our Bibles this morning to the book, the Old Testament book of Zephaniah. That's just a couple of books before the end of the end of the New Old Testament. The book of Zephaniah. Chapter 3. Just a couple of scriptures here this morning, we'll just look at together. In verse 5. Verse 5 it says this, it says, "The Lord is righteous in her midst. He will do no unrighteousness. Every morning he brings his justice to light. He never fails, but the unjust knows no shame. The Lord is righteous in her midst." You know, God is in the midst of his people. You know, whether there's many of us or whether there's just a few of us like there are today, you know, the Bible says and Jesus promises that where two or three meet together in his name, he's right there in the midst of them. You know, the Lord is in the midst. And one thing it says here in this verse, it says he never fails. God never fails. God never fails to show up when we meet in his name. Others may fail to turn up. Others may fail to do whatever they've promised to do. You know, we've been, just before Christmas, we had some work done on our house. And the chap never finished the job he finished the job, but he didn't do it to total satisfaction. And so he said that he would come back and complete it. Now, he promised to come back on a given day, but he never showed up. And on a couple of occasions, I've had to ring now and just jog their memory and say, "Look, you were coming back, you're going to come and do this." And, you know, I spoke to him in the week, and he says, "Look," he says, "I'll be there at the weekend." Now, I'm assuming, because he wasn't there when I left home this morning, that he's not coming today with the weather. But he's promised, no doubt, he will come and do the job that he said he's going to do. But God is not like that. God never fails. You know, we may be waiting on someone or something and they don't turn up. But God always shows up. "Where two or three meet together in my name," he says, "I am there in the midst of them." The Lord is righteous in her midst, or in our midst, we could say. Of course, he's talking about the city of Zion. Perhaps we'd call it Jerusalem. We might refer to it as the place where God is, his dwelling place. You know, because we know that to be, whenever we talk of Zion in the scriptures, particularly the Old Testament, it's There's a reference there to the church, although the church hadn't wasn't in existence at the time. But there's a spiritual Zion is the church. You know, God is in the midst of his church. He never fails. And I've underlined that in green in my Bible. He never fails. God always does what he says he will do. We've had a week of it at home. I've had the computer printer has failed this week. I was in the process, I was trying to get some work done, and you know, the printer failed. Then I think it was Friday night as well, I was trying to just print off something to do with the accounts, the church accounts, and you know, the printer kept failing. Another one. It wasn't that it wasn't printing, it wasn't taking the paper in. It wasn't feeding. You know, these things happen to us. Sometimes we have problems, our brother was saying before the service, you know, the car failed. These things fail from time to time. But we thank God that God never fails. God never lets us down. We may have problems in our health. Our health may fail us. Things may go wrong. But God never fails. And he's always in the midst of his people. Now if we go to verse 17 in the same chapter. There we've seen God never fails to keep his word. You know, Jesus said that where two or three meet in his name, he was there in the midst. Here in verse 17 it says this. It says, the Lord your God in your midst, the mighty one will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing. The Lord your God in your midst, the mighty one will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing. You know, there it says, the Lord your God in your midst. You know, when God says he's going to be in the midst, one thing we need to know, that God is a very personal God. It says, he's the Lord your God. We can make it personal. You know, we can put our own name in there. You know, he is the Lord my God. You know, you can substitute there. Put your name in there. I can say the Lord is Peter's God. He's Prince's God. James God. Phil's God. Kevin's God. Julian's God. Debbie's God. We can put our own name in there. The Lord, your God, is very personal. And when God is in the midst of his people, yes, he's promised to meet in the midst of his, but to each and every one of us, he is personal. He will meet our personal needs. You know, in that scripture in Matthew 18, I think it is, where Matthew 20, sorry, verse 18. I believe that's what it is, where Jesus said that great promise that where two or three meet together in my name, I am in the midst. Sorry, no, it's Matthew 18. Matthew 18, 20. I've got the wrong way around. Where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst of them. You know, he says, where two or three meet together in my name, I am in the midst. You know, God used that name, I am, in the Old Testament. Whatever he used it, you know, we've sung the song this morning, you know, talking about I am, the great I am. I lift my hands to the great I am. You know, I am is the name by which God declared himself to Moses, to Abraham, to all the patriarchs of old. And whenever he said, I am, he was imparting to them something that they needed for that moment. You know, God, the great I am, is in the midst when his people meet in his name. And it says, the Lord your God, to Abraham, God was, I am the Lord Almighty. To Abraham is, I am Jehovah Jireh. I am the one that will provide for your needs. And here, whenever God is in the midst, he is a personal God. The Lord, your God, in your midst. The Lord, your God, in your midst. You know, I don't know what we need this morning. You know, we will have various things going on in our hearts and in our lives. And we have things that we're praying about and seeking God for. Well, when God is in the midst, he becomes very personal to us. Yes, we can be in a group of 1,000, and yet God will meet us individually. And he'll meet everybody in that group at the same time. You know, we're in a gathering this morning of just a few of us. You know, I've been in services with thousands in them. You know, God meets me just the same in the small group as he does in the big group. Because he is a personal God. You know, we have that there. The Lord is our God. I like the words of Ruth to Naomi, where she says, look, your God will be my God. Your God will be my God. You know, he's very personal. And I want us to take that this morning. That God is a personal God. Then it goes on in that scripture and says that he is the mighty one. The mighty one. God is, not only is he personal, but he is very powerful. We have a powerful God who is mighty. Mighty to save. You know, we've touched on it in the past, we touched on it last week. You know, that word salvation, that word there, save, does not just mean that we are forgiven of our sins. You know, as a much wider application, talks about total welfare. That God is powerful to look after our every need. Every thing that goes on in our life, God is there to deliver. God is there to provide for. God is there to forgive us if we go astray. He's there to see that our welfare is taken care of. You know, I read last week talking about the word save, and I'd never read this definition before, but as I was reading it through in the Hebrew, it said that to save is to remove someone from a burden, oppression, or danger. To give victory or make victorious. You know, that's the word save there. To remove someone from a burden, oppression, or danger. And that's what God does in our midst. When God is in our midst, well, not just when he's, you know, where to me. You know, I like to think that when I'm alone, God is in the midst. Because there's me, then there's Jesus, and together we can have church. Together we come together. Me and Jesus come together, then God is in the midst. So even when you're on your own, God is still with you. The Lord, your God, in your midst, the mighty one, he will remove you from any burden, any oppression, or any danger. Because he's powerful. The powerful God. He's a personal God, and he's a powerful God. Then that verse goes on to say that he will rejoice over you with gladness. You know, I love the image that that statement portrays. He will rejoice over you with gladness. In actual fact, the last line of that verse puts it like this. It says, He will rejoice over you with singing. With singing. You know, when we come together in church, we come together as we've done this morning, we join together, we sing, we worship, we praise. You know, we give all that to God because He's worthy to be praised. And that does, well, I don't know about you, but it does me good when I come together like that. I like to, don't do it as often as I used to, and perhaps as I ought to, but I like to get together on my own sometimes in the house and get the guitar out or get on the keyboards and just sing and just be alone with God. Not that I don't get alone with God, but I don't get the guitar out every time I ought to. I just like to get out and just strum, and a lot of the choruses that we sing and that I've written have come from those times where I've just got myself alone, got the guitar out, not played anything but just messed around and strum and just play a few chords, and all of a sudden out will come a song. Because I like to get it, you know, and I get a great blessing out of that type of praise and worship. You know, when we give that praise, it does us good, but we don't realize that at the same time, the Bible here is telling us that God is rejoicing over us with singing. You know, we like to think that He deserves all the praise and all the glory, and that's right, and we give it to Him. We worship Him, we praise Him. But then in heaven, God is doing the same to us. I'm sure He's in heaven and He's singing the praises of His people to the holy angels. You know, I'm sure at times the angels don't always understand God. No. You know, we give Him praise, but why should He give us praise? Why should He rejoice over us? Well, because we are His pleasure. He's very personal. He's very powerful. But He gets pleasure in His people. And that's why He can rejoice over us with gladness. He can rejoice over us with singing. Because we give Him pleasure. In the book of Ephesians, chapter 2, I believe it is. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, it says this. Well, let me read it from verse 8. In verse 8 it says, For by grace you have been saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest anyone should boast. Then listen to these words in verse 10. It says, For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. We are His workmanship. For we are His creation, His piece of work. Whenever anybody creates something, like an artist, they create a sculpture or they create a painting, it's there to give pleasure. You know, we are His workmanship, created for good works, created for the pleasure of God. God created us for His pleasure. You know, therefore, He says that, yes, He can rejoice over us with gladness. He can rejoice over us with singing because we've been created for that purpose, to give Him pleasure. Now, we don't often think of it like that, but, you know, we think that God's given us, that we're to get the pleasure. That we get the pleasure from serving him. We get the pleasure from praising him. We get the pleasure from doing what he's called. But when we do, God gets pleasure. You know, he enjoys it. You know, this is a relationship. This is a two-way relationship between us and God. Yeah, we get pleasure, he gets pleasure. It's like Paul used the illustration of the body in the New Testament to describe the church. And he says, look, he says, when one suffers, we all suffer. When one rejoices, we all rejoice. Well, don't you think God's the same? When we rejoice, he rejoices. When things are going good for us, God gets the pleasure because he knows that he's blessing us. You know, he's the blessed. He's the one that's given us all things to enjoy. He will rejoice over you with gladness. Then it says he will rejoice over you with singing. Then listen to this other line in the verse. It says he will quiet you with his love. He will quiet you with his love. You know, that line to me gives us another two keys. That God not only is a personal God, not only is a powerful God, not only does he get pleasure from us, but he gives us peace, and we have his passion. His peace and his passion. He will quiet you with his love. You know, so this morning as we're in God's presence. Now, as I said, there's only a few of us. But God is still here. The Lord is still in our midst. He never fails. He always shows up. Even if no one had shown up this morning, God would have still shown up for us. Because he always meets with his people. The Lord your God, in your midst, the mighty one will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing. What a God we serve. A personal God. A powerful God. A God who takes pleasure, who gives pleasure and takes pleasure. A God who gives us his peace. And a God who's very passionate about his people. He's very passionate about us, so we should be very passionate about him. You know, and if you, I think it's still on, it is on the website, and we don't put it on our literature as much now as we used to, but if you go to some of the website or look at some of the old literature we had, you'll see there's three words on there. And it's the essence of when we began the church back in 2009, it's three words that I felt were key. Now we might not always, when we look at it, on the outside, look, it might not add up like that, but said that there's power, passion, and purpose. Power, passion, and purpose. Because the power comes from God. And we're passionate about Jesus. And that gives us a purpose. God's passionate about us. That gave him a purpose. That's why he sent Jesus to be our Saviour. Because he was passionate. So he will quiet you with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing. So let's keep that on our heart this morning. That yes, God never fails. He's a personal God to us. He's a powerful God. He's a God who not only gives pleasure, but takes pleasure in us. He gives us his peace that passes all understanding. He's very passionate about us. You know, that gives us purpose for living, that we can serve Him. So let's just give thanks this morning. We'll have an early day, a few minutes early. We'll bring an offering, we'll sing a song and bring an offering to the Lord today.